How you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying Daf Mem Aleph, the 41 of Masechta Bava Metzia. Friends. Yo, friends. Ooh, interesting. All right, Chavi, it's a good Daf. What do you want me to tell you? It might be a long one. Oh, every Daf is long these days. Chavi, Bava Metzia is like the heart of the Inyonim, you know? Oh my. It's like, it's just full on. It's been full on for the past like 6 months now. Oh my gosh. It's crazy. Bava Kava, Bava Metzia, Bava Basa. It's the best. Is Bava Metzia anybody's favorite Masechta? Is Bava Metzia anybody's? It's definitely up there for me. Anybody else feel that way? It's a lot of work, but it's worth it, no? It's so good. Anyways, all right. We're going to start on Daf Mem Amud Beis about, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom of the Mishnah. All right. It's going to be a good Daf. It's a good Daf. Okay. Hamafkid Chovis Eitzel Chaveru. So a fellow who deposits a barrel by a fellow. So Shimon deposits a barrel of stuff. A barrel of wine. Should we say barrel of wine? I don't think there's any reason not to. Okay. So Shimon deposits a barrel of wine with Reuven. V'lo yichadu lo bailim mokim. And I believe it's Shimon. Shimon does not designate a place for it. So Shimon deposits a barrel of wine by Reuven, and Shimon does not say, "Hey Reuven, can you?" Sort of lend me that corner, and that corner will be mine, and that's where my barrel is going to go until I pick it up. He doesn't say this. He just push it, gives the barrel to Reuven, and he goes on his merry way. Okay. So mafkid chovis etzel chaveroi velo yichadula bailim mokim. And Shimon did not designate a place and like borrow a place, so to speak, from Reuven for his barrel. He just push it. Gave it to Reuven. V'tiltalo, v'nishtabro, and poshit, Reuven moved it, and it broke. Okay. So now, im mitoch yado nishbira. So if he broke it while moving it, so like in the act, it broke. L'tzorko chayev. So if he was moving the barrel for his own reasons, now, a custodian is not allowed to use what he is guarding, what he's watching. Otherwise, that would be like a borrower, right? If you want to use something, you have to borrow it. He's not borrowing it, he's watching it. When you watch something, you just look, you don't touch. And so he's not allowed to use the barrel for anything. So if he moved it for some reason, and it broke while he was moving it. So, l'tzorko chayv, if he moved it because, for his own reasons, what does Rashi say, l'tzorko? L'shtamish, but to use it for whatever reason, and he's not, it's unauthorized, he's not allowed to do that. He's a custodian, he's not borrowing it. He's watching it. So, he's chayv, l'tzorko, but if he had to move it for its purpose, out of chvaisnish, maybe there was a leak in the ceiling, or it was dripping on the barrel, chvaisnish, whatever, he had to move it for the barrel's sake, for some reason, potter. So he's potter, whatever, he had to move it as part of being a good custodian. He saw that if there was a reason that he had to move the barrel, so he was moving it in order to preserve it, and unfortunately it broke. So then potter, he is potter in that scenario. Fine. Fine. Im mi shehinicho nishbra, but if it did not break while he was handling it, he handled it just fine. He moved it to where maybe, I don't know, maybe there was a leak in the roof or whatever. Or even if he used it for his own purposes, but he moved it, he put it somewhere else, and then the next day it broke. The next day. Doesn't have to be the next day, but meaning after he put it in a new place, imisheinicho nishbro, once it was already settled in a new place, then later on it broke. Bein litzorko, bein litzorka, whether he initially moved it for his own purposes or whether he initially moved it for its own purposes, makes no difference. Potter. In that case, if it broke later on, then he's potter. Now remember, this, the Mishnah Davka pointed out that this is when there was no specific, right, the Shimon did not designate any specific place for the barrel to be. However, Yichadu la abaylim mokim, but if Shimon said, hey, that corner is going to, right, can you lend me that corner until I pick it up and my bar, and that'll be the place for my barrel in that corner. Well, then, Vitiltala, and then Ruvain, and then the same thing happens. Ruvain moves it, Vinishba, and it breaks. Bein mitoch yado, bein misheinicha. Whether it was while he was moving it, whether it was later on, after he'd already put it in the new place, litzorko chayev. If it is for his own purposes, then he's chayev, litzorko, potter. But if it was for its purposes, then he will be potter. So the difference is that when he, even if it breaks later on, if it was for his own purposes, he's going to be chayev. If Shimon had already designated a place for the barrel, and the Gemara is going to explain what's the deal with the ratio, what's the deal with the sefer, what's the difference if he designated a place, he didn't designate a place. This is going to be our discussion be'etzem till the end of the daf, meaning the second half of the daf is sort of going to get into a sort of related discussion, but really based on this whole question of designating a place, not designating a place, and it relates really on a sugya that we learned at the end of Bave Kame. Okay, here we go. Says the Gemara, this is awesome. Ba-da-ba-do-ba-da. So, ba-boop-ba-da-boo-do-do-do-do-boop-boop-boop-boop-do-do. So the Mishnah, I'll just say quickly, it's unclear to me if it makes sense to say this now or in like a minute from now, but whatever, I'll say it now. Initially, the Gemara treats the first half of the Mishnah, i.e. the part where it talks about where there was no designated place, and the second half where it talks about where there is a designated place. The Gemara right now treats them as like two entirely separate things, almost like they're like, yeah, just whatever, two isolated kind of things. Maybe that, yeah, that's why I was debating if I should say it now. I feel like it doesn't really make sense right now, but hopefully it will make sense in like a minute from now. Okay. So first we're having a look at the first part of the Mishnah. This is the part where there was no designated area for the barrel. Okay. Now, the Mishnah had said that once the barrel had been put down, okay, it broke, let's say, the next day, or even like an hour later, whatever, later on it broke. So we said that Reuven is going to be potter. No matter what, right? No matter whether he took it litzorko, no matter whether he took it litzorko, if he put it in the ratio, we're saying, if he put it down, and then later on it broke, he's going to be potter. Regardless of if he initially moved it litzorko, he's going to be potter if it breaks later on. So now, Homani, whose opinion is this? Rabbi Shmuel he, this is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Now this is a sugi that we learned at the end of Bava Kame. The Amr lo ba'ina das bailim, who says that we do not need the knowledge of the owner. So meaning, Reuven moved the barrel, even if it was litzorko, unauthorized. But he put it back. So then, once he put it back, he put it back. So, it's back, it's returned. It's like Rabbi Shmuel who says that if a person steals, right, so let's go weiter. The time is willing to buy. Goinev tolem in a eder. A person steals a sheep from a flock. He steals a portion of sheep from a flock. Veselim in a kis, or a coin from a purse. Limokim Shegonov Yahzer de Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says he just needs to return it. Whether or not the owner knows that it was stolen, that it was returned, none of this matters. If he steals it but returns it, potter. So here, oichit. We're saying in the Reisha of the Mishnah that if he moves the barrel, regardless of if it was litzorko, regardless of if it was litzorka, if he puts it back, potter. If it breaks later on, he's potter. He put it back. You don't need das balim. He doesn't have to tell Shimon, by the way, I moved your barrel, put it back. No. Puts it back, he's potter if it breaks later on. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says in that braise, tzarech das balim. No, you can't. If you steal a sheep, it's not enough to push it, return it, and then go on your merry way. You have to tell the owner that you returned it. So here also, so our Mishnah cannot be like Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva would say it's not enough to simply put it back. Our Mishnah says once he puts it back, if it breaks later on, he's potter. Rabbi Akiva would not say that. He would say you have to let Shimon know. So therefore, our Mishnah must be like Rabbi Shmuel. But, Rabbi Shmuel, but if it's Rabbi Shmuel, so remember, forget about the Seifa. We're not, forget about the Seifa for now. Forget about the Seifa, the part where Shimon borrowed like an area. Forget about it. It doesn't exist, okay? Because we're about to talk about where he designated an area, but that's not the Seifa of the Mishnah. That's the implication from the Reisha of the Mishnah, if that makes any sense. Right, so Rabbi Shmuel, so if we're saying that the first part of a Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel, and we're saying he did not designate a part of the a specific area for his barrel, and we're saying in that scenario, once Reuven puts it back, even if it breaks later on, he's potter. But then why is it important that there was no designated area? My area lo yichado. What's the difference then? Why is it important that Shimon did not designate any area for his barrel? Afilu yichado, even if he were to have designated an area for his barrel, it would make no difference. Nami. It would make no difference. Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Regardless of if Shimon designated an area, didn't designate an area, if Reuven takes it and puts it back, he's going to be potter. He's going to be potter. So what's the difference? So and for the Gemara, lo mi bar yaka amar. It's saying not only this, but even this. Lo mi bar yichadu. Obviously, if Shimon set aside an area for his barrel and Reuven moved it and put it back to that area, which is the area that Shimon that was designated for Shimon, that it's considered Shimon's. During the watching, during the depositing period, and Reuven took it from there and put it back there, obviously Rabbi Shmuel would say, you know, he returned it to the designated area. Of course, Reuven's off the hook. Dimikomu, he put it back in its proper place. Ela afilu lo yichadu, but even, and that's the chid, and that's what it's saying in the first part of the Mishnah, that even though, right, even if Shimon did not designate an area for his barrel, dilav mikomahu, that Reuven is not putting it down in its proper place, because there is no designated place for it to be its proper place, still, lo ba'inan das bailim, still, Rabbi Shmuel would say, you do not need the knowledge of Shimon, and when Reuven puts it down, he's potter if it later on breaks. Okay, fine. So we say that the first part of the Mishnah is Rab Yishmael. Now we wake up and say, but what about the second part of the Mishnah? But Eima Seifa, what about the next part of the Mishnah? Yichadu la habaylim mokim. If, so now we're talking about a scenario where Shimon designated an area for his barrel. Shimon designated an area for his barrel. And we're saying that in that case, even if, right, so in that case, if Reuven took it for his own purposes and then put it back, even if it broke later on, he's going to be chayav. Right, so emeseva yichadu la bay limokim, that if Shimon designated a spot for his barrel, vitiltala, and Reuven moved it, vinishtabra, and it broke, Ben mitoch yado, whether it broke while in his hand, ben mishei nicha, or whether he had already put it back. If it's litzor ko, chayev. If it was for his own purposes, it's going to be chayev even if it breaks later on. Litzor ko potter, if it was for its own purpose, right, for the purpose of the barrels, then he's potter. Asan the Rabbi Akiva. But that now sounds like Rabbi Akiva, who says that putting it back is not enough. You have to let Shimon know. And Reuven didn't let Shimon know, therefore he's going to be chayev, even once it was, even once he put it back. So that's like Rabbi Akiva. The Amar Ba'ina Das Ba'ilim, who says that, right there, the owner needs to know that it was returned. But he, Rabbi Akiva, my ear, yayichadu. But now, if we're saying then that the second part of the mission is Rabbi Akiva, then why does it specifically point out that he designated an area? Who cares if he designated an area or not? According to Rabbi Akiva, you will always need to tell Shimon that Reuven will always need to tell Shimon that he's returned it. Who cares if Shimon had designated an area or not? So afilu lo yichadu nami, even if they hadn't designated an area, still Reuven would have to tell Shimon that he returned it. Lomi boya ka'amar. So we're saying not only this, but even this. Lomi boya lo yichadu dilad mekomahu. Well, obviously, if Shimon had not designated a place for the barrel, then of course Reuven would be chayv, because there's no specific place that would be considered Shimon's for Reuven to return it to. And obviously Reuven's going to be chayv, according to Rabbi Akiva, who says you need das bailim ela afilu, right? So if there was no place, but right, I hope I just said that right. Meaning, certainly in a scenario where Shimon did not designate a place, therefore there's no place that would be considered Shimon's. Of course, Reuven is going to be chayv. But ela afilu yichadu, even if Shimon had designated, right, did have, even if there was a designated place for Shimon's barrel, nami demekomahu, where it is its proper place. So after Reuven moves it, he's putting it back in its proper place. Still, Rabbi Akiva would say, Bo'ina das bailim, that you need, it's not enough to put it back in its proper place, you have to tell Shimon. Okay, fine. So we just viewed the Reisha and the Seifa completely separately. The Reisha is a whole Rabbi Shmuel thing, and the Seifa is a whole Rabbi Akiva thing. And in the Reisha, we dafka point out that no space was pointed out, because it's a chiddush for Rabbi Shmuel, that even though no place was designated, still Rabbi Shmuel would say, Lo ba'in and das bailim. And the Seifa is mentioned when it was designated, because according to Rabbi Akiva, even though it was designated, still you do need das bailim. I hope I'm saying these things right, because after I say them, I'm feeling like I'm getting them backwards, but I'm like 90% sure that I'm not getting them backwards. I hope I'm not getting them backwards. So Reisha Rabbi Shmuel v'Seifa Rabbi Akiva. So frak the Gemara, wait a second. So if I understand correctly, says the Gemara, you're telling me that the Reisha and the Seifa are two different Tanoim? That the Reisha is Rabbi Shmuel and the Seifa is Rabbi Akiva? That's exactly what I'm poshut saying. The Reisha is Rabbi Shmuel and the Seifa is Rabbi Akiva. The Om Rabbi Yechanan, because Rabbi Yechanan says, Man dimitargimli chovis alibo dichad tano. If somebody can explain to me this Mishnah regarding the barrel and explain it to me as one single Tana, as one single opinion, without having to resort to saying that the Reisha is Rabbi Shmuel and the Seifa is Rabbi Akiva, if you could explain this Mishnah as being all one consistent opinion, Movlono Mone Basu Leve Masusa, I will carry his clothing after him to the bathhouse, which I think is a classic Evid Kanani thing, right? Is that right? I think that is right. In Evid Ivri, I don't think you're allowed to ask him to take your clothing to the bathhouse behind you, not by Evid Ivri, by Evid Kanani. I think that's kind of like how you can make like a chazoka, I think, in the Evid Kanani, right? Because Evid Kanani, I think his nickname is Bechazoka. And you could say, hey, take my clothing after me to the bathhouse. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying that if somebody could explain to me this Mishnah without having to divide it up among two different opinions, I will carry your clothing behind you to the bathhouse. Kilu, no way, no how. There's no way to explain this Mishnah other than to say that it's two different opinions. But that didn't stop anybody from trying. Tigma Reb Yaakov bar Abba kame de Rav shenotlo al minas ligozla. Tigma Reb Nosson bar Abba kame de Rav shenotlo al minas lishloach bo yad. Okay, so we're going to see three opinions now. Reb Yaakov bar Abba, Reb Nosson bar Abba, and Reb Sheshes. All of them are going to explain that the Mishnah is according to Reb Yishmael, who says that if you return it to its proper place, you are potter. Okay. That if you return it to to its proper place, so okay. So Rabbi Shmuel says lo ba'ina das ba'ilim, right? So Reuven can basically return it without having to tell Shimon. That's just by returning it, that's enough. And if it breaks later on, he's potter. Okay, that's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. The thing is, we're going to see the opinions right now of Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba, Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba, Rabbi Nosson bar Abba, and Rabbi Sheshes. And here's the thing: they all assume. I think that they all assume. I guess we'll see in a second that you would nonetheless have to return it to its proper place, though. Okay. And therefore, so let's look at the first one, for example. So Tirgum Reb Yaakov bar Abba kami derab shenot la'amanas legozla. So the thing is, so says Reb Yaakov bar Abba bar Nosson Rabba. What I keep on forgetting his name. Reb Yaakov bar Abba kami derab. So Reb Yaakov bar Abba says before Rab that it's talking about where Reuven didn't just take the barrel to use it for some reason. And Mamish, the mission that we're going to get up to today. Oh no, not today. No, in a few days. Oh yeah, in a few days. I'm up to this mission about Shlichus Yad. So I guess if I had gone a little bit further, I might be a little bit more informed. But whatever it is. Says Rav Yaakov bar Abba before Rab that when Reuven took Shimon's barrel, he took it as a goslin. He took it with the intent of stealing it. He took it with the intent of stealing it. So now remember, what was Rabbi Shmuel's opinion? Shmuel said, for example, if you steal a sheep from a flock, so you stole it, and then you returned it to the flock, you're potter, and you don't have to, right, you don't have to tell the owner. So says Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba that Reuven, when he took the barrel, he took it with the intent of stealing it. So now Rabbi Shmuel says that if he returns it, then he's off the hook and v'lo b'ina das b'ilim. Sorry, Mom, I keep on rubbing my nose, but it's bothering me. So now here's the kicker, Chaver. Here's the kicker. Here's where I'm getting at. Here's the kicker. In order to be considered like it's returned, you have to return it to its proper place. If you return it not to its proper place, so then you're still going to be chayiv. You have to return it to its proper place. So now in the Reisha, so this is Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba explaining how the whole Mishnah could be understood like Rabbi Shmuel. That both the Reisha and the Sefer are Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. In the Reisha, where there is no designated place, so then any place is considered its proper place. And therefore Reuven moves the barrel and he puts it down anywhere. So then, it's considered like you put it in its proper place, and we said that if it breaks later on, bein letzorko, doesn't matter if he initially took it for his own purposes, which Yaakov Rabba is saying as theft, or whether he took it for the purposes of the barrel for whatever reason, maybe it was dripping or it was a leak, makes no difference. Once he returns it, it's considered like he returned it in its proper place because there was no designated place for it, so any place is considered its proper place. Right? Shimon deposited the barrel with Reuven. Anywhere in Reuven's property, whatever, would be considered its proper place. And therefore, he's potter. But in the Seifa, where they designated a place for the barrel, Well, then that designated place is considered its place. But Reuven didn't return it to his designated place. He returned it to some other place. And therefore, it's not considered to have been returned. And that's why you're chayiv. So even according to Rabbi Yishmael, who says that lobein and das bailim, it would have to nonetheless be returned to its proper place in the seifa, because a certain place was a specific place was designated, and Reuven didn't return it to that specific place. That's why Rabbi Yishmael would say that you are chayiv if he had taken it initially for his own purposes, for the purpose of stealing it. Uwa, gevalde. So again, Tirgum Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba explains how the whole Mishnah is actually Rabbi Shmuel. Kami the Rab, before he explains before Rab, Shenot la amanaz legozlo, that Reuven had initially taken it with the intent of stealing it. Right, when it says it's Sarko, it means with the intent of stealing it. When there is no designated place, so any place is considered a proper place to return it, and therefore he's potter. He'd be potter if it breaks later on. But when there is a designated place and he returns it to a different place that is not the designated place, well then he will be chayiv if he took it with the intention of stealing it. Tigma Reb Nosson Bar Abba Kamei Dirab Shenot La'amanas L'Shloach Boyad. Haha. So this is interesting, a little bit more nuanced, that Reuven had taken it not with the intent of like stealing all of it, but he had taken it with the intent of taking some of it. So like if we say it's wine, I guess maybe he was going to take some of the wine, but he didn't end up doing it. He didn't end up doing it. So he didn't actually end up taking anything, but he was going to take something, but didn't actually end up taking anything or making any difference. You know, everything's still there. But still, it would be considered shlichus yad, sholeach yad. You're not allowed to be sholeach yad bepikadin. A custodian can only watch. He can't touch. He can't do anything with it. And therefore, even though he didn't end up taking anything, still the fact that he, you know, made a move on the barrel and moved the barrel, that is enough to be considered like a goslin, like a thief. And therefore, when he returns it, now it becomes the same thing like Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba in the Reisha, when there is no designated place. So wherever he puts it down is considered its place. And if it breaks later on, he's potter. In the Seifa, since they did designate a place, since he didn't put it in that designated place, if it breaks later on, he is going to be chayiv. B'maka miflegei, what is the difference between Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba, who says it's dafka when he took it with the intention of stealing it, and Rabbi Nosson Bar Abba, who says that, no, he took it with the intention of just taking some of it, but it ended up changing his mind anyways? The question is that considered shlichus yad? If it's considered sholeach yad, so then that's gezela, and then he has to make sure he puts it back in the right place. If it's not shlichus yad, so then it's not a problem. So b'shlichus yad tzricha chisarin. So the machlokas is that when it comes to shlichus yad, to mishandling, to using in a not allowed way a deposit, so it in order for something to qualify as shlichus yad, does it have to actually, you know, negatively impact the item? So in Reb Nosson Bar Abba's example, where he was going to take some of the wine but didn't take any of it, so he didn't actually take anything. It's all still there. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba, who says that he dafka took it with the intention of stealing it, he would say that Reb Nosson Bar Abba's example of where he was going to take some of it but didn't end up taking it would not be shlichus yad. He asked the mamish take it with the intention of stealing it. Whereas Reb Nosson Bar Abba says that no, even if he didn't end up taking anything, the fact that he initially moved it and he was going to take some of it, even if he didn't, it's still considered shlichus yad, and it's considered theft, and after he would have to remove it, return it to the same place. So mando amar ligozla. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba, who says he davka took it with the intention of stealing it, it's because kasav shlichus yad tzricha chisarin, that in order for it to be to qualify as shlichus yad, it would have to actually ruin it somewhat. And therefore, he says it can't, right? So therefore, he says that dafka, he has to take it with the intention of stealing it. Umad ha'am l'shloach ba yad, and whereas Reb Nosson Bar Abba says, kasov shlichus yad ein tzricha chisaron, it doesn't actually need to deplete it in any way. The fact that he moved it, and he was going to take some of it, even if he didn't, that's still considered shlichus yad, and therefore, he would have to return it to his proper place. Maskev lo Rav Sheshes. But Rav Sheshe says Akasha on both Rav Yaakov Bar Abba and Rav Nosson Bar Abba, because both of them said Notla. Both of them said that they took it, that they took the barrel. Midi Notla Katoni. It doesn't say anything in the Mishnah, Notla. Tiltala Katoni. Moved it, not take it. He didn't take it, he moved it a shtickle. Ela Omer Rav Sheshe, rather, Shes Rav Sheshe, Achav Ma'eskin, on here we're talking about Kigon Shen Tiltala, that he poshit moved the shtickle, lavi alea gozalos. He needed to use it poshit as like a ladder, right? He needed to get up a little bit higher up so he could take some birds from some place. So he moved the barrel of shtickle so that he can climb on top of it. That's all he did. Because over shoyel shalomidas gazanave, and Rav Sheshe is saying at least that the Mishnah assumes that, I guess Rav Sheshe also is assuming that. If you borrow something without permission, that's called stealing. To borrow something, you have to say, hey, can I borrow it? You can't just borrow something without asking permission. That would be called theft. And therefore, since Reuven borrowed it to climb on top of it without permission, he would have to return it to its proper place. So again, in the ratio where there's no designated place, so any place is considered its proper place, and he'd be potter if it breaks later on. In the Seifa, there is a designated place, and he didn't return it to that designated place, so therefore he's going to be chayv breaks later on. Because over shel shlomidas gazlon have, we just read that, v'chula Rabbi Yishmael hi, and in all the examples, as I explained, we're talking about Rabbi Yishmael's opinion, who says, lo ba'inan das ba'ilim, v'seifa she'inicho b'makom she'eino mekoma, and as I've explained, that the seifa, where there's a designated place, it's talking about where he did not return it to that designated place, and therefore he's chayv if it breaks later on. Okay, so we saw the opinions. So Rabbi Yochanan had said it's impossible to explain this Mishnah according to one opinion. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba, Rabbi Nosson Bar Abba, Rabbi Sheshes all gave different ways that you can explain that the Mishnah is entirely the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. However, in order to make that work, They all basically relied upon the same concept, that what Reuven does is theft, whether because he took it with the intention of theft, like Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba, whether he took it with the intention of taking some of the wine, but didn't end up taking some of the wine, but Shlichus Yad does not need Chisaron, and that's Rabbi Nosson Bar Abba, okay, but it would be considered Shlichus Yad, which is theft, or Rav Sheshes, who says that he borrowed it without permission, which is theft. All three of them rely on the concept of Reuven was stealing it, and in order to be off the hook, he would have to return it to its proper place. And the reason why he's chayiv in the seifa is because he didn't return it to its proper place. They all rely upon that. So again, Rabbi Yochanan had said, it's impossible to explain this Mishnah to be all the same opinion. We just saw three different ways that you can explain it according to Rabbi Yishmael. However, they do all assume that the reason why he's chayiv in the seifa is because he didn't return it to its proper place. Why did Rabbi Yochanan assume that it's impossible to explain it all according to one opinion? Rabbi Yochanan nicha b'mekom mashma. Because Rabbi Yochanan says, look, the Mishnah says inicha. He put it back. Putting it back implies putting it back in its proper place. And therefore, all those three alternatives assumed that in the Seifa he didn't return it to its proper place, and that's why he's chayv. But Rabbi Yochanan says, look, I read the Mishnah, and as far as I'm concerned, inicha means he put it back in its proper place. That's why I don't understand. And that's why, says Rabbi Yochanan, the only way I can understand the Mishnah is to say that the Reisha is Rabbi Yishmael, and that the Seifa is Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Fine. Okay. Itma. It was stated. So now, okay, Givaldig. So now that we mentioned this concept of Shlichus Yad Tzarech Chisaron or not, that in order to be considered Sholeach Yad, which is using, making use improperly of the deposit, so there's a machlokas, in order for it to be considered Shlichus Yad, do you actually have to, you know, what's the word? Like, ruin it? Like, mess it up a little bit, okay? So Itmar was stated, Rav v'Levi, machloikes Rav and Levi, chad omar shlichus yad tzricha chisaron, v'chad omar shlichus yad eina tzricha chisaron. So a nice clean machloikes, that one opinion is that shlichus yad needs, what did I just say, to mess it up a little bit, and the other opinion is that In order for it to be shlichus yad, it doesn't have to get messed up at all. Tistaim de rav hu de omar shlichus yad eino tzricha chisarn. So initially we want to say that it must be rav's opinion that shlichus yad, it's still considered shlichus yad even if you don't mess it up at all. The Tanya is learning a brisa, roye shehoyo roe edro, that if you have a shepherd who's watching, is shepherding his flock, viniach edro, and he leaves the flock uvala ir, he had to pick up epis in the city, and while he was away, uvaze vitaraf, and a wolf came and tore up some of the sheep. Uva ari vidaras, or a lion came and trampled. Potter, he is Potter. However, he niach maklo v'tarmilo aleo. But if he had put his staff or his what was his tarmilo? I think it was like a bag of sorts. I don't think it was a bag. I don't think it was a purse. It was something else. I don't remember what the word that they had in the arts called. I think it was some kind of bag on it. So, i.e., he was being sholeach yad, meaning I think the assumption is that the sheep, he doesn't own the sheep. People, you know, give him the sheep to graze. So he was, so he's basically a I don't know, probably shomer sacher or something. If he was sholeach yad, if he had put his staff or some other thing on one of the sheep, so he was sholeach yad, well then, chai. Well, then it'd be chayiv, because once you're sholeach yad, you're chayiv even for ones, right, at that point. So, v'avinan bo, and we ask, mishum de'iniach maklo v'tamilo aleo chayiv, hashaklinu. But we say, what, just because one time he put his staff and his other thing on the sheep, he's chayiv, but he had already taken it off of the sheep, and therefore it's like he just kind of returned it, right, it's like how it was. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Amar Rav Ba'odan Aleil. Yeah, but they're still on the sheep. So he's actually still being Sholeach Yad, I guess, when it got torn up. Ba'odan Aleil might have it. But who cares that they're still on the sheep? Halo Moshcha, he didn't do a Kinyan Meshicha on the sheep. And therefore it's not going to be considered Shlichus Yad. He would actually have to pull the sheep. V'Amar Rav Shmuel by Rav Yitzchok, Amar Rav Sheikisha B'makov Ratzasa, Lefanov was talking about where he kind of hit it with the stick and it ran in front of him and he was sholeach yad in that way. Falo chasra. Okay, but still, he didn't, you know, mess up the sheep at all. So why would he be considered sholeach yad? So it must be that, according to Rav, shlichus yad does not require messing up the sheep in any way. And therefore, if he put his staff on the sheep and then it got torn up, So I guess once he puts the staff on the sheep and it gets torn up later on, so then he'd be chayiv. Even though there's no messing up. But emoshe kisha b'makal. No, but I'll say that he weakened it, that when he, you know, right, that with the staff, he weakened it. Tekanami, that also makes sense. Tekatani, she kisha b'makal shmamina. Well, it says that he hit it with the staff. So he actually, when he was sholeach yad, he actually did mess it up, and that's why he's chayv. Okay, so now we're saying that, okay, so it sounds like according to Rav, Taka, sholeach yad is when he messes it up. Well then, shmamir, okay, midrav sovar, shlichus yad tzricha chisaron, levi sovar shlichus yad ena tzricha chisaron. Okay, so now if we're saying that Rav is the one who says that sholeach yad does require messing up, well then, whose opinion is the one who says that shlichus yad does not require messing up? Clearly then, it's Levi who argues on Rav. Okay, where am I? And it's Richa Chisarn. My time of the Levi. So why does Levi say that Shlichus Yad does not require Chisarn? Here we go. Not a big deal or anything. We're going to talk about, we're going to see now the Psukim by a Shomer Chinam, by a Shomer Socher, that it says Shlichus Yad in the Psukim, both by a Shomer Chinam and by a Shomer Socher. And we're going to kind of do a deep dive into that right now. Okay, so my time with the Levi. How come Levi says Shlichus Yad does not require Chisaron? Om Reb Yechanon Mishum Reb Yesi Ben Oroi. says Rabbi Yochanan, the name of Rabbi Yosef ben Arai, Mishuna Shlichus Yad O Amura Bishomer Socher. Mishlichus Yad O Amura Bishomer Chinom. That it says Shlichus Yad both by Shomer Chinom and by Shomer Socher. By Shomer Chinom it says, Im lo imotze agane v'niko balbayze l'eloim im lo sholach yodo b'mleches v'yeyu. That's by Shomer Chinom. By Shomer Socher, what does it say? It says, what's the pasuk by Shomer Socher? Vinish Balashaka? What's the pasuk? The matter? Yeah, Shvuas Hashem Tia Ben Shneim Im Lo Shalach Yado. That's it. Shvuas Hashem Tia Ben Shneim Im Lo Shalach Yado. So it says Shlichus Yad by Shomer Socher, right? It says Viniko Vais Im Lo Shalach Yado. What am I talking about? Im Lo Yimasi Agal Viniko Vais Eloim Im Lo Shalach Yado Mlechzu Eiu. So that's by Shomer Chinam. It says Shalach Yado Mlechzu Eiu. And then it says by Shomer Socher, it says Shvuas Hashem Tiyeh Ben Shneim Im Lo Shalach Yodo. So it says Shlichus Yad both by Shomer Chinam and by Shomer Socher. Okay, fine. So now, again. So Amar B'Yechanam B'Shomer B'Yosef Ben Arai Mishun Shlichus Yad Amor B'Shomer Socher Mishlichus Yad Amor B'Shomer Chinam. So the Shlichus Yad by a Shomer Socher is different than by a Shomer Chinam. Vani Omer Eina Mishuna, and says Rabbi Yochanan that I don't agree with that, and I say that they are Be'etzem the same. That there's no difference between the Shlichus Yad by Shomer Socher and by Shomer Chinam. Okay. Umay Mishuna. So what does it mean when Reb Yosef ben Arai says that there's a difference between the Shlichus Yad by Shomer Chinam and by Shomer Socher? Because lo tomar Shlichus Yad by Shomer Socher. And I think that we've seen this before in Bava Kamma, or at least like similar discussion. So lo tomar shlichus yad b'shomer socher. I don't need it to say anything about shlichus yad by shomer socher, because v'teisi b'shomer chinam. I just know it already from a shomer chinam. Uma shomer chinam shepotu b'gnev v'aveda sholach b'yad chayev. Well, when it comes to a shomer chinam is more lenient than a shomer socher in that he's only chayev for posheya. He's potter for everything else. He's potter for gnev v'aveda. Right? So where am I? So Uma Shomer Chinam Shepotu B'Gnev V'Aveda Sholach Bayad Chayev. And yet, even though Shomer Chinam is more lenient, he's still Chayev, however, for Shlichus Yad. Shomer Socher Shechayev B'Gnev V'Aveda, a Shomer Socher who is more stringent, who's more strict in that he's Chayev for Gneva V'Aveda, is already more strict. Lo Kol Shekein, certainly he should be Chayev for Shlichus Yad. So the Mayuch Sakosvinu Rachmana. So why does the Pasuk say Shlichus Yad by Shomer Socher? I should know it already. If Shomer Chinam, which is more lenient, is Chayev for Shlichus Yad, so then certainly Shomer Socher, which is already more stringent to begin with, should be Chayev for Shlichus Yad. So why does it say Shlichus Yad by Shomer Socher? Where am I? So lo malach to say to you, Shlichus Yad eino tzricha chisaron. To say, to teach us that when it comes to Shlichus Yad, it doesn't require it to be messed up in any way in order for it to be Shlichus Yad. Kilu, saying Shlichus Yad by Shomer Socher is entirely extra. It doesn't need to be there. I can learn it from a Kal Vachomer. The only reason why it's there is to teach me this new concept that by Shlichus Yad, it could be Sholeach Yad even if you don't mess it up at all. Vani Omer, and says of Yochanan, I say, Eina Mishuna. No, Shlichus Yad, both by a Shomer Chinam and by a Shomer Socher, are teaching the same thing, are both necessary. There's no difference between the two. That I needed to say Shlichus Yad, both by Shomer Chinam and by Shomer Socher, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not so clear that Shomer Chinam is more lenient than Shomer Socher. Where am I? Vani Omer Eina Mishuna Krabalazu. It's like Krabalazu. The Omer Dovida Achasi that they're both the same. My davda achasi. What does it mean they're both the same? Mishum deikol mifach, as you could say. That's why I think we've seen this before in Masechta Bava Kama, I think. That you can argue that Take, Shomer Chinam is more stringent than Shomer Socher. How is Shomer Chinam more stringent than Shomer Socher? Well, here's the thing. Sure, Shomer Chinam is potter for Gneva Va'aveda, as long as he's telling the truth. But if he lies, if he claims that it's stolen, even though it wasn't, and he swears that it was stolen, even though it wasn't, and the witnesses come and say, you're a liar, then he has to pay kefel. Oh, no other shomer have to pay kefel, only a shomer chinam. So in that sense, shomer chinam is actually more stringent, because shomer chinam, there could be a scenario of kefel. By shomer socher, there isn't. So therefore, if we can make the argument that a Shomer Chinam is actually more stringent, then I can understand why there's Shlichus Yad. Maybe by Shomer Socher, which in this respect is less stringent, maybe there would not be Shlichus Yad. Therefore, I need to have Shlichus Yad both by Shomer Chinam and by Shomer Socher. Uman de lo parich, but according to Rabbi Yosef ben Orai, who assumes that Shomer Chinam is more lenient than Shomer Socher, so for karna below Shvue, adifa, Mikvila b'shvu. By Shomer Socher, you automatically have to, if it's stolen by Gneva, you automatically have to pay. There's no way of getting out of it. Shomer Socher is chayev for Gneva Vaveda. And therefore he's going to have to swear. Oh no, therefore he's going to have to pay, if it was stolen, a Shomer Socher is going to have to pay the amount, the value of the deposit, the principal amount of the deposit. Now, a Shomer Chinam is potter by Gneva Vaveda. But look, if he ends up swearing and he swears falsely, then it could lead to Kefel. But that doesn't actually make it more stringent, according to Rabbi Yossi ben Orai. Meaning, if you look at the starting, like in a certain sense, it's like the exception that proves the rule. Right? It's like, that's kind of the whole point. Okay, what's the argument to say that Shomer Chinam is more stringent than Shomer Socher? Well, since if it gets stolen, he doesn't have to pay, he's off the hook, so because it's more lenient, but if he then ends up swearing falsely, gets proven wrong by witnesses, he's then going to have to pay kefel. It's kind of like the exception that proves the rule. Meaning, which is not even an option when it comes to Shomer Socher, because Shomer Socher, to begin with, is already paying for Gneva. So it's like the exception that proves the rule. That meaning, the whole reason to say that Shomer Chinam is more stringent than Shomer Socher is because it's more lenient. Meaning, because Shomer Chinam is more lenient than Shomer Socher, in that you don't have to pay for Gneva, but if you take advantage of that, and you exploit it, and you lie, well then we're going to punish you, right? If you took advantage of the fact that Shomer Chinam is part of Gneva Vaveda, and you swore falsely that it was stolen, and then you get proven wrong, Then you're going to be punished. You're going to have to pay kefal. But the whole point is, you only have to pay kefal because you took advantage of the fact that Shomer Chinam is actually more lenient than Shomer Socher. Yeah, if you're going to be an idiot and exploit it and lie about it, then yeah, okay, you'll get punished. But kilu, the whole point is that to begin with, Shomer Chinam is more lenient than Shomer Socher. Where Shomer Socher, you know, you're always just going to have to pay for Gneva Vaveda. So therefore, Therefore, Rabbi Yossi ben Arai says that Shomer Chinam is considered more lenient, and yet you have to pay for Shlichus, and yet you're chayv for Shlichus Yad. Therefore, Shlichus Yad by Shomer Socher, according to Rabbi Yossi ben Arai, is extra, and it's to teach that Shlichus Yad ain't a tzricha chisarn. Fun. Ravi Omar, Ravi gives a different explanation. Lo toma Shlichus Yad, lo b'Shomer Chinam v'lo b'Shomer Socher. Says Ravi, actually, the Torah doesn't need to write Shlichus Yad neither by a Shomer Chinam nor by a Shomer Socher. V'teisi Mishoel. And I learn it from a shoel, a borrower. Uma shoel, diladas bailim ka'ovid, dishalach boyad. By a shoel, a borrower, he's obviously borrowing it to use it, right? If a person borrows a cow to plow his field, so he's meaning, unlike a custodian who's not allowed to use it, just needs to watch it, a borrower is borrowing it in order to use it. Right? In order to be, right, he's dafka borrowing it with the intention of being sholeach yad, of using it. And we know, of course, that a shoel is chayev for ones. Well then, kavachomer, shomer chinam, v'shomer sachar, lo kol shekin, shomer chinam and shomer sachar, that are not allowed, right, to use it, right? They're custodians, they just need to watch it. Well then, certainly, if they're going to be sholeach yad, they're going to be chayev for ones, because after all, if a shoel, a borrower, who's allowed to be sholeach yad, and he's chayev for onsin, well, certainly a shomer chinam and shomer sachar, who are only allowed to watch it, if they are sholeach yad, they're going to be chayev for onsin. So lama nemar, so then why do we have shlichus yad both by shomer sacher and by shomer chinam if we don't need it? Chada lo malach, one of them is to tell you shlichus yad in tzricha chisaron, that in order for it to be considered shlichus yad, it doesn't need to get messed up in any way. V'idach, and the second shlichus yad is shalotomar dayolav menadin lios kanidon, so you don't say dayolav menadin lios kanidon from a borrower, right? Means that when you learn something out from a kavachomer, well then you should compare what you're learning out from the kavachomer in all respects. And therefore, if we're learning out shlichus yad, the chiyuv of shlichus yad from a borrower, well then I would say mashol b'baylim potter, right? Right, by a shoel, by a borrower, the pasuk says baylav ein imo shalim mishalim. He's only chayv if the he's only a borrower is only chayv if the lender, if the person who's lending it is not there. If he's there, then he's potter. So I would think that okay, if we're learning out shomer chinam and shomer sacher from a borrower to say that they're chayv for onsin by shlichus yad, well then I'll say that just like a borrower is potter if the owner is there, so then also shomer chinam and shomer sacher would be potter if the borrower is there. So if shomer chinam and shomer sacher be baylim potter. So therefore, I need it to say shlichus yad a second time to teach that don't say that. And when it comes to shomer chinam and shomer sacher, even if the owner is there, they will be chayv by shlichus yad. Ulamando Omar shlichus yad tzricha chisaron. Now, according to Rav, who says shlichus yad tzricha chisaron, so then what do you do with these two extra sholeach yads? Sanitati shlichus yad lamali. What do you do with these two shlichus yads? Chada shalotomer dayo lavo minadin lios kanidon. Okay, so one of them is to teach, don't say dayo lavo minadin lios kanidon, right? And by shomer chinam by shomer sacher, we'll say that you will be chayv for shlichus yad even if the owner is there. The idach in the second shlichus yad lichdetani, like we learn in the brayse, v'nikra balabayis elo elohim, that it says by a shomer chinam, by Tointan is Ganif, that if he claims that it was stolen, and says Vinikra Balabais Alolim, that the custodian had already gone to Bezdin to swear. The Shavua, that means that he already went to swear, and it teaches that Tointan is Ganif is only Chayv if he had sworn that it was stolen. Hatom the Shavua, oh, in the Din, wait, how do you know that it means that he had already sworn? Maybe just that he already went to Bezdin. He doesn't have to swear. Meaning, if the custodian says it was stolen, and the witnesses say that it was not stolen, he'll be chayiv kefel, tointan is ganav, even if he didn't swear about it. Nemeshlichus yad lemata, v'nemeshlichus yad lemata, we say no, it says shlichus yad both by shomer chinam and by shomer socher. Malahodim l'shvo, just like by shomer socher, it's to swear, as the pasuk says, shvu as Hashem, tiyeh ben shneim lo shalach yod. So just like by shomer sacher, it clearly says swearing. So also by shomer chinam, we're talking about that he dafka had sworn. But we don't learn out according to Rav that shlichus yad ein tzricha chisaron. Wow, that was daf mem aleph. That was a heck of a daf. There was a lot of great stuff in that daf. talking about machlokes in Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, do you have to return it back to its proper place or not? Well, meaning if you return it, right, tzricha das bailim or not, do you have to let the owner know or not, and the ramifications for shomer? Then we talked about the concept of shlichus yad, and shlichus yad tzarech tzricha chisaron or not. That machlok is between Rab and Levi. We talked about shomer chinam, shomer socher. Very, very interesting stuff. Peace out.